There's protection in obedience. There is protection in going where He says for you to go and in doing what He wants you to do.
God has provided for your protection. When you follow His plan for your life, you can rest in His peace. Join special guest teacher Kelly Copeland Swisher as she continues her teaching, Wake Up and Report for Duty, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and I am so happy to be here with you today talking about being Jesus, talking about allowing Him to live in this world through us, allowing yourself to represent Him and to be what we've been called to be, the body of Christ. You know, we use that phrase a lot, being the body of Christ, but we are the body. He's the head, we're the body. You know, in general cases, the body flows along with the head. The head doesn't go anywhere without the body, and the body doesn't go anywhere without the head. And as we want to, as believers, grow up spiritually and become spiritually mature, we're going to have to start looking like our head. Our body, his body's got to start looking like his head. So we can do that. And the way we do that is to begin to see things through His perspective, to make decisions based on what He wants, to listen to Him, to be obedient, not just following rules, but following our head, which is Jesus. And so as we begin to live this way on purpose, we will begin to grow up into Him. The same way as you notice that when your kids start obeying you because they see that you're right, they start growing up and they start making right decisions on their own. And so that's where, of course, we are not on our own. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with Him. And so that's what we've been talking about here last week and this week. We ended off yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with chapter 6. And we found out we're God's partners in this. He has made us partners in the cross, because we've been given the task of bringing people to Him. We've been given the task of representing and being the ambassador. In fact, Paul says here in chapter 5, verse 11, because we understand our fearful responsibilities to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. We work hard at this. You know what? Sometimes it is hard work. Romans 12 calls it a living sacrifice, the way we have to be sometimes, where you don't, it's not about how you feel anymore. It's not about what you need anymore. You know, it's kind of like being in the military. They really just don't care what you need, honestly. They care what they need. And everything about the military is about what the military needs you to do. And you fall into line if you're in the military. Well, we're not civilians anymore. We are soldiers. We have reported for duty as the Lord. In a prophecy earlier this year, I've been reading that, as the Lord asked us to do, report to me for duty. I just love that. It really frames your day. If you'll just get up in the morning and say, well, Lord, okay, I report for duty this morning. I've had the neatest things happen. Steve and I travel a lot, and we've had the funnest, neatest things happen doing that, you know, on airplanes or in hotels or just being asked to do things that are unusual. But it's been a great adventure, I tell you. You cannot go wrong. If you want to have some fun, start following Him. Start being on duty. And when He finds somebody He can count on, He will send you to all points of the world. It's been awesome. But He's great to serve, because here's the deal. You think, well, then what about my needs? If I'm just interested in everybody else's needs and being Jesus to them, well, who's going to take care of me? Jesus, honey. I mean, Jesus will do so good taking care of you. honestly, so much better than you can take care of yourself. So no need to worry. We cast our care over on him and pick up his care. What is his care? His care is bringing people into the gospel and not just getting them in, but loving them. His care through you is to love other people. You know, if I won't be him, if I won't love people on his behalf, how are people going to know that he loves them? We're going to see some of that the rest of this week in the Word. You know, we don't preach ourselves, we preach him. We don't present ourselves, we present him. You know, if people make fun of us, they're not making fun of, they're making fun of him. And if they're making fun of him, they are really seriously short of good information because they're missing it. And when you begin to live like this, you begin to not be offended when people, I think that's why, you know, the Word talks about if you walk in love, you don't even take offense because you just feel sorry for people that don't know how much Jesus loves them. And so it changes your perspective where people are concerned. And so it says here in chapter 6, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. You know, I can't accept what Jesus has done for me and then live my life all blessed and happy and not be a partner with him to give that to somebody else. I love Smith Wigglesworth said, be bountiful with the Spirit of God. He was a Englishman, uneducated. He was a plumber. He became a speaker, a preacher, and people got healed. And I guess he had to just quit plumbing because of his ministry grew. And he had such an amazing grasp of who was inside of him. And even though he was, you know, not wealthy and not educated, there wasn't anything that he didn't think he could do. He raised people from the dead, get someone out of a wheelchair. Why? Not because of who he was, but because he was so aware of Jesus on the inside of him. You know, this life that we live, it's not just a lot of talk. Shouldn't be a lot of talk, but about, it should be power. You and I should be moving in power. And if we're aware of our, that we represent Jesus, we should be doing everything that he did while he was on this earth. Going around, doing good, healing people, setting people free. That's what we should be doing. And so Smith Wigglesworth said, be bountiful. We've got something on the inside. We've got something awesome on the inside. We should be bountiful to give it away. And as we begin to think this way, we become what this is, God's partner. I don't accept what he did for me and then just ignore it. Because it says, for God said, at just the right time, I heard you. You know what? I have to stop and think about that for a minute. How can I not hear someone's plea on his behalf when at just the right time I needed him, when at just the right time I called on his name, he heard me and he saved me. It says, when at just the right time I heard you and on the day of salvation, I helped you. On my day of salvation, when he heard me, he saved me. Well, then how can I ignore that and not hear somebody else cry and offer them salvation? Not me. I'm just here to be the middle person between God, Jesus, and somebody else. Maybe you. I'm here to tell you he's awesome. I'm here to tell you he has heard your cry. And you're here to tell somebody in your world. Maybe it's somebody at the office. You know, we have all these pictures of, maybe you wondered about that when you first saw it. But these are just people. These are people in your world, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your coworkers, people that you see at the grocery store on an everyday basis. And each and every one of them Jesus died for. And we're the middlemen. We're the ones that get to say, hey, let me introduce you to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I find that the more I think that way, the less offended I get when people are just ignorant of who he is or who he could be to them. And it's my job to inform them. And it says here, indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We need to be convincing. Like he said, we need to work hard to be convincing. We need to be, it's urgent. you know, when is the right time to lead somebody to the Lord? Well, it's right now. It's urgent now. Look over at Romans chapter 13. I want to read this to you. In verse 11, of course, we looked at Romans where it talked about living your life as a daily sacrifice. And what is that? That's being nice when you don't want to be nice and not complaining when you want to complain, because we represent the Lord. And so he says here in verse 11, this, or how we live, this is all the more urgent. It's urgent. If it was urgent 2,000 years ago, it's urgent now. You know, this book was not just written for the people back then. This book was written for us today. It has no expiration date on it. It was written for us today, and it is urgent today. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up! For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here, so remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. You know, take off that old way of living. You know, have you ever seen somebody come in, maybe to church or somewhere where you expect people to be, you know, look a little dressed up or maybe at least clean, and somebody comes in and they're dirty, or they have not washed off the grime of the day before going into a restaurant to eat? You look at them and you go, you know, don't you know where you're at? Go change clothes. Of course, we shouldn't be judgmental, but, that's the way this is saying, hey, you've got clean clothes to put on. We've got clean stuff on the inside of us to bring out and put on, so that the appearance that we give to people is what is the real thing on the inside of us. When we have dirty deeds, like being rude or hateful or anything that the Word of God says is not the right way to be, lying, cheating, stealing, any of that, any way we look or smell like the world, it's dirty clothes. We have the nature on the inside of God. We pull that out. That's why the Bible talks about being clothed with those things, the fruit of the Spirit. Clothe yourself. In Colossians it says, clothe yourself with these things. Patience, goodness. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. We put that on, that right living, and begin to live on purpose for Jesus. You know, there's protection in that. There's protection in obedience. There is protection in going where he says for you to go, and in doing what he wants you to do. So you just put that on. And I have to say, I'm going to stop right here and just throw this idea in. You don't have to be on purpose about it in the beginning. You have to be on purpose about pulling out the nature of God to dress in, because you know what? It's not natural. It's not a first thought in our nature as a human to respond in love when someone pushes your buttons or they're rude to you. You know, the natural thing to do is to push back, to be rude back. You know, that's why it says we don't evaluate people from a human aspect anymore. We have to look at them through Jesus' eyes. We have to look at them through what's on the inside of us, through love, joy, peace, patience. And we have to on purpose put those things on. I think about every time I think about getting dressed in the Spirit, I think about being the mommy of four little children who are not little anymore. Max graduated. He's now in his first year of Bible college, and he's the baby. So, you know, they're not little anymore, right? The oldest is 26 and married, and they're just all growing up. But it wasn't always so. You know, I never call Rachel on the phone and see if she needs me to come over and get her dressed. I just don't have to do that. And wouldn't Max be embarrassed at school if mommy had to fly out there to see him and get him dressed every morning? You would just think, okay, that's weird. And yet, how long have we been living with the nature of God in the inside of us and we don't get up every morning and get dressed? But it takes decision, just like it took when you were two, or it takes you teaching your children and they begin to dress themselves, okay, it's not perfect. They're going to put their clothes on inside out, backwards. They don't match. Their shoes are on the wrong feet. And they're going to sometimes forget to go out with clothes on at all. Now, we've had that happen numerous times. Not in a while. It's been a long time since any of the children went out without their clothes. But I remember one day we were at a meeting, and here I was. It was just the three girls at the time, and they were all little, and they all had on these big frilly dresses, and I had gotten them ready for this meeting that we were going to, and I was trying to get them down to the car and driving them over to the church where we were having a meeting from the hotel. And it was one of those hotels with no elevator, and you had to walk way down the hall and then down the stairs and then over to the car. And so I'm struggling, you know, with all the paraphernalia that it takes to have little ones in bags and diaper bag and purse. And I think I was supposed to sing that night too. So there's a little pressure. And so I'm getting them all ready. I get them down to the car, and Jenny begins to crawl into the car. And as her little rear end is sticking up, as she's crawling into the seat, I realize she has no underwear on. And so I had to grab everybody up. It was so on purpose that I had to do this with. You know, it was everybody did not naturally get themselves dressed and ready to go perfectly. I had to load everybody up, walk back up to the hotel room. Thank the Lord for his grace. I made it. I sang. I just completely trusted him on all of that. But you know, it makes a great story, though, and it makes a great illustration of getting dressed on purpose. You know, one day she finally got it. Okay, underwear is a requirement. You know, clothes are a requirement. They're not an option. And so it's the same way for us learning to walk in love and represent Jesus. These things are not an option for us. They are a requirement that we dress fully in him, in the armor of right living. It says, don't participate in the darkness of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, and quarreling and jealousy. Doesn't that sound like what we see on the news today? Don't participate in that. Don't act that way. Not even a little bit. Indeed, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, with his presence. His presence, you know, he's going to be with you always, won't ever leave you, the Bible says. But if you want his hanging out presence, you want the glory of God in your life, you want him to be making a difference in your life, you're going to have to begin to walk in love. You're going to have to begin to live your life where he is, not just making him live with you in your mess. Does that make sense? We can begin to live like he paid the way for us to live this way. He paid the way for us to live by the power of what's on the inside of us. And you know, when you begin to live and your life begins to show the fruit of what he's done in you, things go well with you. Things work out for you. And so he paid the price for us to live this way. And he says here, don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. You know, I just want to take a moment right now to address our young people. Because so many times kids grow up in the church and they love Jesus and they have somewhat of a relationship with him. But do you know, there's too big of a, it's the statistic is too humongous of the kids who leave the church or leave their relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about leaving a building. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord. They leave and they go for things in the world. And then when some significant life event happens, they realize they need the Lord and they come back. There's too many. It's happening and it shouldn't be happening. You know what? The world does not need you to go out there and act like them. I said, you know, I asked you earlier, when is the right time? It's urgent now. The world needs you to be Jesus. You know, stand up and live for him. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world that can compare. There's heartache out there. There's kill, steal, and destroy. That's what Satan has come to do to you. That's why he's trying to pull you over here. And people are enticing. But it's my job, it's your job to be enticing over here to Jesus and say, join his team. The world needs you to be Jesus. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
In the uncertainty of the world's financial system, people everywhere struggle to keep their jobs, pay their bills, and prepare for the future. Is there a way to be truly prosperous and blessed in these changing times? God's Word has much to say about the purpose of money and the promise of prosperity. Blessed to Be a Blessing, a book by Kenneth Copeland, reveals God's desires to bless you. God has made all of heaven's supply available to you for a specific plan and purpose. In this practical book, you'll find out how to tap into God's promises and heaven's economy to change the world around you. It's time for the children of God to have the financial means to reach people for Jesus. Don't settle for less. Think bigger, because God has more for you. Get into God's system and be blessed to be a blessing. Order your copy of Blessed to Be a Blessing, now available for just $10. For a product discount and faster processing, order online at kcm.org. In this book by Kenneth Copeland, find out the truth about God's desire for you to prosper and live in abundance. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Mainly what we do is we network. We network among aid organizations, missionaries. We supply medical equipment, clothing, school books, anything. People just give it to me. I had someone recently come in and they didn't have anything to give to the boys in Cambodia, their orphans. And I'd been sent all these beautiful towels. And each boy got a towel and a washer, and they were able to take something back. But this happens all the time. I work out of my rumpus room, I think you would call it, and my carport, and we take it out by the truckload at times, and my husband says, wonderful, wonderful, and as fast as we take it out, it comes back in. Cambodia has taken in container loads, Fiji has taken container loads, Vanuatu, in the Pacific regions, Tonga, Africa, Uganda, Kenya. They've gone into Russia, they've gone into Romania. There's just so many areas. It's very hard to know, because what I do is I get equipment given to me. There's no money changes hands, and we just give it away, and it just goes. We were just given about 60 million tomato seeds to network. Now, they have gone all over the world. The mandate we've been given is to bring the body of Christ into unity with unconditional love. And that's what we try to do. We try to bring about that unity and just love them. You can really make a difference. It doesn't always have to be with money. It doesn't always have to be with providing goods. I've got a little 88 year old lady. Every 3 months she makes me a great big bag of clothing for the orphans, for the children. She clothes the naked. And one lot went to India, and a little orphan girl over there, she said she felt like a princess. She'd never had anything new before. I think the Lord knows where he wants you and where your giftings can be used. And you may not think you've got giftings, but yeah, hey, the Lord's never shortchanged any of us. We've all got giftings.
You know, Bev went home to be with the Lord this past Christmas. What a Christmas for her that was. You know, imagine heaven welcoming someone who found their place, who knew what she was called to do and did it. She was a woman that loved God, and her actions showed that she was there to do what he needed her to do. So we honor Bev and her family for the work that she did. You know, I loved what she said. She said, "The Lord knows where he wants you." It's time for you and I to step into that place of doing. I tell you, the further into that place I've stepped of doing, finding my place and doing all that I know he wants me to do, the more blessed your life becomes, the more fruitful your life becomes. I love Smith Wigglesworth said that the Holy Spirit will drop you in where he needs you. And that's what happened with Bev. And that's what can happen to you today, too. Just say, "Lord, I want to find my place. What do you want me to do?" It may be something huge, and it may be something next door, but it'll be something that will lead you to the blessing. And our offer this week is Dad's new book, Blessed to Be a Blessing. This helps us to get our thinking right where prosperity is concerned. You know, our thinking doesn't need to be that God wants to prosper us just so that we have all the big stuff we want, more comfortable. He does want us to be more comfortable. He wants us to have a nice place to live. It's in his word. That's the way his word is written, that we would be blessed. But he wants us to be givers so that he can, through you, bless somebody else. And you cannot outgive God. So if you get this book, it will help you get those things straight in your thinking, and you'll begin to have vision for what he can do through you. Let me pray for you. Father God, today we want to find our place. I want every person that's listening and watching this broadcast to find the place that you've ordained them to be. What should they be doing, Lord? Just say right now with me, "Lord, I report for duty. What would you like for me to do today?" And Lord, we will do today what you tell us. And we will do tomorrow what you would tell us. And out of that will come a destiny. And Father, I thank you for Bev's life and for blessing her family and all the seed that they've sown to come back to that family in Jesus' name. And Father, continue that work to minister to people. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the day that's going to be great. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with me today. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher reminding you that today of all days, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Don't miss these exciting meetings. For more information, go to kcm.org.